Good evening and welcome to Art Waves. I'm Bernadette Rule, and my guest tonight is Janet Rogers. Janet Marie Rogers, this year's Mabel Pugh Taylor Writer in Residence at McMaster, is a Mohawk Tuscarora writer from Six Nations, Ontario. Before that, she was a writer and or artist in residence with institutions across Canada, and she was the Victoria British Columbia Poet Laureate from 2012 to 2015. Her poetry takes many forms, among them spoken word, video, on the page, and recorded with music. Since her debut, Splitting the Heart, in 2007, she has published six more titles, most recently Ego of a Nation, which she produced through her own Ogisto Publishing in 2020. Rogers plans to expand Ogisto to include new and unique Indigenous voices. As Two Row, Janet Rogers and Jackson Two Bears have produced two documentary films, Indians on the Airwaves, about Six Nations Radio APT in 2016, and Moving Voice, a 2019 TELUS-sponsored Story Hive broadcast about the travels of Mohawk literary trailblazer E. Pauline Johnson. Welcome to Art Waves, Janet Rogers.
Well, thanks for inviting me to be on your program, Bernadette. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm very honored to have you on. You lived for 25 years in BC. What made you decide to come home to Six Nations?
Yeah, I like that question. It's a little bit flipped because most people would say, why would you move away? And I, but yeah, I think it is kind of important to know why I moved back because, you know, Victoria, British Columbia, unceded traditional Coast Salish territory where I lived as a guest, you know, by the good graces of the Coast Salish people. I moved back just because I had kind of felt like my time there was done. Like I had given all I could give to that area. And during the time that I was living there, I was making these little trips back home to do some artwork with Jackson Two Bears in our Two Row Media production house, namely, you know, the Indians on the Airwaves documentary, which actually brought us home because Jackson's from Six Nations too, but he lives in Lethbridge, Alberta, Treaty 7 territory. And, you know, the times that I did come back home to do this documentary work and this media work, there was just something like I was grabbing everything I could when I got back home. I would grab, you know, food that I could bring back with me. I grabbed, you know, images, artwork that I could bring back with me. So I was thinking, you know what, I really want to be back home. And I have to credit living on Coast Salish territory with my start as a writer, because living in Toronto before I left for Victoria, BC, Coast Salish territory, that I had thought, oh, I'm going to follow this trajectory of becoming a visual artist. And that was going well. I had a little budding career as a visual artist. But it was when I was on the West Coast 2 years after I moved there that I really started writing in a serious way. So I think that was the kind of, you know, the purpose of moving out there is something was waiting for me on the West Coast. And again, that could be referenced back to the Pauline Johnson story as well. You know, that Vancouver, BC, traditional territory of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh people, that's where she decided to land when she had to get off the road as a writer who had been on the road in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So yeah, there was something about, you know, and she's from Six Nations as well. So there was something about moving to the West that really helped sparked my writing journey, I'll say. And I just followed it that way. And then becoming the Poet Laureate was about the, you know, the highest accolade I could achieve, you know, in that capacity as a poet. So I felt like, I think I've done what I needed to do on the West Coast and I'm ready to come home. So that was the whole impetus of that.
That's wonderful. Can I ask, while you're talking about E. Pauline Johnson and Two Row and Jackson Two Bears and your documentaries, how can people get a hold of those documentaries?
They're on the line. So we've got our Indians on the Airwaves, which is on the Vimeo sites. So it's another media site where people can find that. And it's Indian. So it's like the letter N, the letter D, the letter N, Indians on the Airwaves. And basically, it's a short documentary that talks about the history of our local Six Nations radio station, CKRZ 100.3 FM. Voice of the Grand. And speaking of radio, since you're doing radio, Bernadette, and this was I think a really good little story, because, you know, the radio station in itself kind of represents the survival of the community. You know, the voice is very much part of identity in terms sure. of Indigenous people. So we liked it. And, you know, because I'm a poet and because Jackson is a mashup artist, he comes from, you know, this rich kind of history of being this video DJ, VJ kind of mashup artist. We decided to just put both of those things into our work, and that's what the piece looks like. It looks a little experimental, but really it does. There's a lot of information in our little doc there. Yeah, so that's what we did.
And what about the E. Pauline Johnson? Is that you're still working on that one?
No, it's called Moving Voice, and it was broadcast last September on the TELUS Story Hive. So you can find it on YouTube under TELUS Story Hive.
Okay.
Yeah, so just look for Moving Voice. And that piece was created when I was doing the writer in residency at the University of Alberta, so Treaty 6 territory in Edmonton. And so we've got wonderful footage of Banff, Alberta, and the train museum in Edmonton. And then we have a wonderful actor who's portraying E. Pauline Johnson named Tara Began, who is from the Okanagan area, if I'm not mistaken, from the interior of BC, but she now resides on Treaty 7, which is Calgary. And my God, she did a fantastic job of portraying E. Pauline Johnson and against the landscape, and we got the costumes. So, you know, it all looks so wonderful. And yeah, and again, the narrative, the poetry kind of carries the narrative of that doc.
Well, and it would. Her poetry is absolutely wonderful. I used to teach it to kids all the time. It's beautiful stuff. Yeah. I'd love to see that documentary. So these are fascinating sounding. So do you have time to read us a poem from Ego of a Nation? Do you have that in front of you?
Yes.
I'd love to hear something from your latest work.
So yeah, the latest work, Ego of a Nation, is produced on the Ojisto label. And this is a label that I've started since I got back home. And I'm going to read for you a piece called Soft Earth. It talks about environment and identity and things like this. It's kind of loaded. Is this earth? It is so soft. I have been living in a steel beam reality, uncomfortable, hot, not air conditioned where precipitation is discouraged. Touch her. She wants to hold you. Feel her heat surround you. Go ahead and sweat. Why don't you cry through words you speak? Go to a place of personal risk. Go and come back. Recognize connection. It will blow you away. Silence inside the vault is sex. It's sexy. Museum secrets made public. This is history. Is this history at all? I am an open-hearted target. I come to them humble with nothing. They take aim, pierce me with teachings, open my thinking, feeling what she felt. I see what she is seeing. I did not have the chance to dance with him. It was like that for her too. At least we have memories of so much honesty, sexy. Identity is partially defined by our finality, part adaptability, lots of make-believe, love making come true. There are many ways, versions of the same. How do I tame knee-jerk critiques, closing the drawers of knowing? Shouldn't the will to welcome be immediate? I like uncertainty, reminds me of respect. When no one has taught us modesty, the earth is so soft. Come, touch it.
Beautiful. Janet Rogers reading from her latest book, Ego of a Nation. What was the title of that poem again?
Soft Earth.
Soft Earth. Okay, lovely. In case you've just tuned in, this is Art Waves. I'm Bernadette Rule. And tonight my guest is the 2020 writer in residence for McMaster University and the Hamilton Public Library, Janet Marie Rogers. I don't know if you write as Janet Marie Rogers or Janet Rogers.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the residency with McMaster's and Hamilton Public Library is I'll be there until the 2021. So I just finished like a first 3 month phase that took us to the end of June. And then I just switched focus to do other projects for July and August. And then I'm back in that position for September until April 2021.
Oh, September till April. So people have plenty of time to get to reach you.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So now they shouldn't send you anything through the summer, or at least if they do, you won't see it.
That's right. Yeah.
But if people want to send you some writing to critique, to be helped with, what are your parameters? How long should it be? How do they do it?
Right. So I'll provide you with the email first. So if people want to get in touch in September, they can reach me through the master email, which is Englewir, E-N-G-L-W-I-R for writer in residence at mcmaster.ca. And, you know, for poetry, I ask for 5 pieces, and for fiction or a short story, I ask for no more than 5 pages. And that should get us rolling into a conversation. I have been providing feedback through email, but also through phone calls. And it's just been that's one of my favorite things about the residency is that I get to connect with local writers and learn what they're doing. And, you know, it's a learning thing for me too. And talking about story and literature is like one of my absolutely favorite things. I could do it, you know, all day long. So So that's been a real joy. And then we did the podcast. So that might be something that you might be interested, Bernadette, in listening to, you know.
So tell us about the podcast.
So the podcast is titled Writing Home, and it's a 2-parter. And what we did as a way to create a public engagement project through the residency is we put a call out for local writers of any description to submit work that spoke to the ideas around home. And then what came through as submissions was like over 50 submissions. You know, people were writing to the theme of home, but they were also writing to the theme of living in the time of COVID virus. So we decided to separate the 2 themes and create 2 podcasts. So both podcasts are approximately an hour and 20 minutes. And you've got a real rich variety of a collection of stories and poetry and reflections on both those themes, home and the COVID virus. So they can be found on a streaming platform called Buzzsprout.
B-U-Z-Z Sprout?
Yes, that's Sprout. That's right, yeah. So, you find them there, called Writing Home, but you can find it if you Google Writing Home podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds absolutely wonderful.
That was busy work. It was a lot of work to coordinate that, but it was really fulfilling stuff because I got to be really, really intimate with every one of those pieces and got familiar with the authors themselves. And so I thought it was like a really effective public engagement project. And I'm sure, you know, when the school year starts up again in September, we'll think of another public engagement project where different writers can submit. And it might not be the same podcast. We'll see. I don't know. We haven't talked about it yet, but
great.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Daniel Coleman was very well pleased with it. The invitation came at a time when I was just super busy just getting involved in all this Zooming and working from home. So I wasn't able to contribute, but I look forward to reading that and seeing the podcast. That sounds great. Yeah. You have to really think on your feet during COVID, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Adjustments. Yeah.
Adjustments. Yeah. Well, let's get back to your own writing, Janet Rogers. When did you first start writing and how did you know, when did you know you were a writer?
There was, the writing started when I was living on Coast Salish territory and it was,
You only started writing out in BC?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So like I said, like, I really feel like, being out there had a purpose, and that was, that the writing was waiting for me there. And
Great.
I had I was working for 10 years with the public school system. I was a teaching assistant with Indigenous education out there for 10 years. But I'll tell you, it was like the most miserable time of my life. I was a different person. I was really miserable. I smoked a lot because I was so stressed the whole time. But during that time, you know, I was also developing my writing, and I was attending this one open mic session at the James Bay Inn in Victoria. And interestingly enough, that's the place where Emily Carr was convalescing and ultimately died, in this location, which was now transformed into an inn. And so it was great place to cut my teeth as a writer, to develop my voice as a writer. Very, you know, inspirational writers and readers in Victoria. But it's also, you know, when you attend these open mics, it becomes a place where you learn how you don't want to read and you don't want to write, you know, because you get that side of things too. So that was going on. And eventually I was getting these invitations to read at different places. And I was making these requests for leave so I could go and, you know, honor these invitations and build, you know, my career that way. And then eventually, after 10 years, the public school system said, Janet, you got to make a choice. Like, either you're going to do this or you're going to go off and do this. And I was really upset about that they were making me make a choice. But ultimately, it was like they were kicking the baby bird out of the nest. And when I did make that conscious decision to leave, things really opened up for me. Like, they really did. So it was really, you know, just taking the risk of following the path.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And you've been a writer in residence all across the country, and also in States, and you know, you've done a lot of this kind of good work, and obviously you found your niche.
I really am grateful for these universities and libraries that create and other educational institutions that create these positions where they support the writer so that I can be, you know, and other people can be working full-time working writers. You can just stick with it. You don't have to do this side gig, you know, waitressing or whatever it is that, you know, anyone does. So, yeah. So I've been able to do that for many, many years now. And, you know, as a result, yeah, just keep developing and opening up what the writing is and does and, you know, and things like that. So then coming back home was where I started to think about, okay, now I can publish. Now I can start publishing others.
Yeah. That's wonderful that you've opened a new publishing house. So that's incredible. I know so many people on Six Nations will be so excited.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So you said in a spec article with Kate McCulloch that you had felt that your voice has more power now that you're back home, and you've explained all of that. But how does inspiration come to you for a specific poem, for example?
I write from a place of, I think, you know, well, a need and an urge to just write. My hand loves to hold the pen and write on the page. It really does. Like I get great energy. There's a great energy flow that happens there. And then being an Indigenous writer, you know, I write from a great place of responsibility. Like I know that even though I am writing in a creative voice, there are things that can be said. There's messages within that creative voice that are absolutely necessary and needed out there in the, you know, the bigger, the broader community. And yet at the same time, I know that I have this responsibility to my family, to my community, and to the broader nationhood across all of our nations. But that is not, and I don't mean to make that sound like it's a fearful thing. It's not. Whereas some writers may feel, oh, they may question, should I be writing about this? I lean into that and say, yes, I am exactly the right person to be writing about this. And that's what I should be doing, using my space and my platforms to say the things that need to be said for the betterment of our nations. And yeah, it sounds a little grandiose when you put it like that, but I think, you know, it also creates material and content, if you will, for others to kind of get insight into the perspective, the Indigenous perspective. And, you know, when we connect in that way, that's the best way to combat racism and prejudice and everything. Not that that's what I feel my responsibility is to teach, but I know that that's kind of a byproduct of what happens when I write authentically and from a very, you know, honest perspective, being an Indigenous writer.
Yeah, you know, it's always struck me forcibly that the root word of authority is author.
Huh.
And it is a very responsible and very privileged position, and you shouldn't waste it. It's true.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And as in the poem you read to us from your latest book, Ego of a Nation, you use the usual poetic sensibility of sensuality and so on to get to a statement about Mother Earth, for example.
That's right.
And it is very powerful stuff. Have you been on CBC much?
I did. I was on CBC. I actually used to, in Victoria, on Coast Salish territory, I had a music column with the CBC, the 3 to 6 show. What was it called? Oh my God, I can't remember the name of the 3 to 6 show now. Sadly, and I was on that program for 8 years, and it was a weekly music column where I got to, you know, introduce the listeners to Indigenous musicians, which I absolutely love. Like, I love doing radio, mm-hmm. and I love Native music. It's exploding. You know, there's so many different wonderful musicians, but that did not end well, I have to say. Yeah, after all of that good work that they and I did to create this good relationship, and, you know, for them to provide, again, this platform for a Native voice on their airwaves, which, trust me, in Victoria is very, 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 very white. They decided to go another way, which was fine, which would have been fine, but they didn't tell me about it. And so that was a huge insult. Like, they just didn't inform me that they were going to go another way. They posted a job posting for my position, and I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, and my God.
It was the 2 steps back, you know, yeah, after the 1 step forward that they took. That just is ear, you know, you can't even apologize enough for that. Like, it was just so insulting. Anyway, so I rallied all the listeners, and I said, please send them a note. And they did, and they got inundated
by
the listeners saying, what are you doing?
It's not acceptable, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Well, let's go back to your new publishing house, Ogisto.
Yes, Ogisto.
Okay, what does that mean in English? Is there a translation?
Yeah, Ogisto is a Mohawk word and a Gunnigahega word, and it is the title of one of Pauline's poems, or, you know, prose pieces, where she talks. It's a story that Ogisto is the name of a young Indian maiden, and she gets captured away from her village from this rival chief, or, you know, warrior. And as she's being carried away on horseback by this captor, she pretends that she's falling in love with him. And yet at the same time, she grabs his knife from his sheath and she stabs him. And ultimately, she saves herself. And it's a wonderful, really old romantic kind of story. But Ogisto also means like a shiny star, a white star. So, you know, we have a great history in Indigenous cosmology. And so I kind of wanted to reference that, you know, all the pieces are coming from this ether, from the ether up there, which is where all inspiration lives. yeah, before it comes down to us.
Nicely. You do so much, Janet Rogers. You're so very busy with so many things, and that's absolutely amazing. Do you have a time that you set aside every day to write poetry, for example, or does it just come as it comes?
Well, as you know, now I'm switching focus, like I said, from the book sales are going well, and so that keeps me busy because it's very grassy rootsy. Like, whenever someone is ordering a book, I'm the one that packages it up and puts the address on the thing and, you know, walks it over to the post office. So that's, you know, that keeps me busy, and I get joy out of that because I get to see who's purchasing the book. But right now I'm busy writing a script, and it's for a radio project, actually. It's a pilot. And it's a pilot that may be picked up by CBC again, back to our CBC friends. but this is really exciting. This is one of my dreams, to be writing this script for radio. And so that's keeping me quite busy. Like I said, right now I'm saying no to a few things because I do really need to carve out this time to really focus on this script. Mm-hmm. It's my baby. It's my dream. And so I really want to make sure that it's done in a good way. And, you know, for that to happen, I need the time and the focus.
Yeah, of course. Well, that is very exciting, and I look forward to that as well from you. You talk about people ordering the book. How do they do that?
Oh, thank you. Yes. So people can contact me through my email, which is janetmarie@pacificcoast. I still have my Pacific Coast email. Yeah, two C's in the middle of Pacific and Coast, and that's .net. So janetmarie@pacificcoast.net. And if you, that's where you can send the e-transfer. If you're ordering from within the boundaries of what is now called Canada, then it's $25, and that includes the postage. And yeah, send the e-transfer for $25. And then also through that email, send me your mailing address. And then I send a signed copy out to you. So no, it's as simple as that. Yeah.
And this is for the most recent book, Ego of a Nation.
That's right.
Your past books, are they still available?
They still are available. I have copies here of Totem Poles and Railroads, which is through ARP Press in Winnipeg. Arbiter Ring Press. So I have a few of those copies, but the other copies, and there's seven titles in total, can access those through the publishers. So if you Google, you know, Janet Rogers, and you can get the names of the titles, they're all available through the publishers now.
Okay, great. Well, we have two more things I need to do before I let you get back to this, this radio pilot, which I know we have to let you go soon. One is I want to ask you about your music choice for closing the program.
Yeah.
And I want to know, do you have a shortish poem that you could read us another poem from the book?
Yeah, I think I have a short one. So we'll go with the short poem.
Okay, let's do the poem first.
Okay. Right. Uprooted and Isolated, which actually is a funny, you know, these poems had been developed over the last 2 years before they got to in a book form. Uprooted, Isolated is kind of funny because it does talk about, you know, being separated as we are during this time.
Very, very pertinent.
Yeah. Uprooted, Isolated. Land with shadows thick as morning mist, hold space for me and mine. Peace flows slow within the river. Never uprooted as much as we have been challenged by unnatural hunger. We never move. They keep writing rules and ways to us stand in place, cling to each other. And when I say each other, I mean you and me. We never move. We are new and isolated humans, cultivated through colonization. Connection is weak compared to reaction. We are still writing history. What do we say when asked for proof? We say, we are right here.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. Well, Janet Rogers, tell us again now, what piece of music did you choose for us to close Art Waves with tonight?
Yeah, so one of the great Indigenous artists of all times in all genres and all kind of practices is Buffy St. Marie. You know, she can make digital art. She definitely, we all know, she makes amazing music. And, you know, she's become kind of like this, can you say...
wise elder?
Yeah, wise elder and, you know, name, common name and household name, let's say. But that is not to diminish all of the greatness that she has contributed to Indigenous art that falls under the category of Indigenous art. So when she released her latest album, Power in the Blood, I was playing that album so much on the radio shows and, you know, just personally listening to that. And it's just, it's really, really like we're listening to a master create work that speaks to really, really pertinent issues within Indigenous realities. And so, you know, she's always been out front representing for the Native people. And so anything from Power of the Blood or even the title track, Power in the Blood, makes me smile.
Okay, we'll certainly be closing with that brilliant choice. And, you know, I got to say, I think Buffy St. Marie speaks for everyone because, of course, she's a prime, you know, Indigenous voice. But in the 60s, when she put out her song, Universal Soldier, that for me was the beginning and end of a statement on why we should all end war and be pacifists. And I just hold her in such high regard for that alone, let alone everything else.
She just operates on a whole other level, you know. She really does. And so, wow, I'm in awe. I really am.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I'm in awe of you, Janet Marie Rogers. I'm so happy that you were able to be on Art Waves tonight and really appreciate it. So we will close with that amazing pick, Buffy St. Marie, Power in the Blood. And we also thank our listeners for tuning into Art Waves. We love having you there. Knowing you're there makes all the difference to our conversations. And I hope you can join us for our next Art Waves. And if you can't, please go to the podcast at archive.org/details/artwaves to hear this and all the other amazing conversations from Art Waves. So hope you can join us again. And until then, this is Bernadette Rule wishing you a good night on the shores of Lake Ontario.
Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in the blood.
No time for spin doctors' medicine. Corporation government selling me some cover up. Weaponizing pesticides, poison in my groceries. Nothing but another drug, a license they can buy and sell.
No, I don't mind dying. I don't mind dying. I don't mind dying. But when that card comes, I will say no, no, no to war.
Compliments from television anchormen, desperate for incident. Real estate assassins exploiting our predicament. How everything depends upon it being in their interest.
So I don't mind dying. Well, I don't mind dying. I don't mind dying. But when that call comes, I will say no, no, no to war. No.
There is power. Justice in the song. And when that cry comes, I will say no, no, no to war. Power in the blood. Justice in the song. And when that cry comes, I will say no, no, no to war.
There's military interest. There are GMOs in paradise. Bioweapons high upon the call sheet. Young soldiers driving tanks, but old thieves, they drive the banks. And you never see a uniform on Wall Street. There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood.
So I don't mind dying. Comes, I will say no, no, no to war.
There is power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that time comes, I will say no, no, no to war. Power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that